Good morning, everybody. Boom, boom. It's a bit of a chilly morning this morning. The driest autumn we've had in 100 years, I think I heard. Welcome to our service this morning. And happy Mother's Day to the mothers and the grandmothers, and if that's you. I did a little bit of a search on feminine images of God in the Bible, and there are several. Not as many as one might hope, but women and men created in God's image. We are all in God's image. That's in Genesis, of course, right at the very beginning of the scriptures. In Hosea, God is described as a mother. Also in Hosea, God is described as a mother bear. Beware of a mother bear looking after her cubs. In Deuteronomy, God's described as a mother eagle. And again in Deuteronomy, the God who gives birth. In Isaiah, God is a comforting mother. And also a nursing mother. And there's a few more. But you get the idea that God is neither male nor female, but there are aspects of God that is both. And so you mums, you grandmums, you are made in the image of God and are blessed by our God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the gift of motherhood. The gift of mothers, the gift of love, the gift of tenderness, and all things that mothers exude. Gifts from you, made whole and complete by you. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for our mums and our grandmums and our great-grandmums and so on. And praise you for them and for all that they have been. And for those mums who are here today, Lord, and grandmothers, for all that we will be. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you in our service this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you.
else could rescue me from my failing? Who else could offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God, only my holy God.
Come.
Jesus, we praise you and thank you for who you are and for what you have done for us, what you have given to us, and most of all, Lord, for your presence in our lives, holding us, guiding us, leading us, forgiving us, giving us the very life that we have in you and with you. And for all these things, Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Amen. Okay. Just a few notices this morning. Firstly, Marty is not able to be with us this morning, unfortunately. He is unwell. Marge is standing in for Marty this morning at short notice. So when Marge comes up to share Marty's message this morning, just use your imaginations a little bit. Couple of things. There's a few things happening this month. There's a little slip in the grapevine that has an incorrect date on it. Thank you, Sal, very much. The men's dinner group is meeting on the 15th of May, not the 22nd. Then Creative Connection on the 23rd of May, the biggest morning tea. If you're able to join in on that, everybody's welcome, with a display of Ted Van Dyke's marvellous woodwork. If you've seen Ted's stuff, it's actually fantastic. 28th of May, the Tuesday, last Tuesday of each month, a circle of friends from 1:30 till 3, and then Friday friends on the 31st of May. There's also a note in here about a daytime Bible study. There is interest for some people to participate in a daytime Bible study, but we're looking for somebody to actually lead that. So if you feel called to lead a daytime Bible study, please speak to Marge. And that'll do with all of that. Now, Sam the man, you got a minute? We're going to the art gallery, mate.
Oh,
hang on to that. Come this way. It's a one-picture art gallery this morning. Pardon our backs, but we can't look at what's in front of us and look at you at the same time. So, oh, hello. Do you want to come join us? Come join us. You can participate in this as well. This is our one-picture art gallery. Now, what do you see? What is that? What's going on in that picture? Anybody want to... Let's see.
You can get up closer.
You can have a close look.
And you're allowed to be wrong.
A blessing?
Sorry?
A blessing?
Ooh, yeah, good one. Yes, a blessing. Indeed, there's a blessing going on. What about you, Sam? You see anything in that?
You see that someone's putting their hand on someone?
Yeah. Who's this bloke?
Jesus?
No? Huh? Well, kind of, sort of. What about the Father? God the Father. Do any of you know this painting? Are familiar with it? I mean, it's not the original. If I had the original, I would be extremely wealthy. It's a Rembrandt painting, and it's called The Return of the Prodigal Son. And one of our Bible readings this morning is Jesus' parable of the return of the prodigal son. And that's the prodigal kneeling at the feet of the father. And this is the older son who's looking a bit grumpy. But I love the image in that because... Does your dad hug you every now and then, Sam and Mum? That's... Adrian, could you come and give Sam a hug? Please? Are these two guys huggable by their grandmother? Come on. Yeah. That's the way. That's the image in that picture that I have of God, and those hugs that you just got from your dad and from grandma?
Yeah,
Nana? That's my image of God, a God who hugs and holds and never lets go. You just threw me off balance, Adrian. Now, the original of that painting, it's a Rembrandt painting. It hangs in an art gallery in Russia, and I'd love to go and see it, but I don't think Russia's a place to visit just now. But the original is 2.6 metres high, and 2 meters wide. It's a huge painting. I would love to go and see it, seriously. And it was painted around about 1668. So it's a very old painting. But that's going to sit there. Now, if you want to, when we're singing or when Marge is preaching or whatever, if you want to come and have a closer look, just come and have a closer look. Or have a look after the service. But it's got so much imagery. And the one thing I will point out that I do know, that the hands of the father resting on the shoulders of the prodigal, one hand is female and the other is male. Have a close look at them. And if you want to go online, it's in the Hermitage Museum. You can actually do one of those interactive looks at it. It's fantastic. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray, guys. Father, thank you that you are a God who loves and holds and hugs and rests your hands on our shoulders, and that you love us with the deepest of compassion and mercy and goodness. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Good job. Okay. What's happening next? We're going to sing another song.
I might just stand here and look at this.
So if you want to come down and have a look while we're singing, serious, please do.
Yeah.
we come to share in our prayers. Dear God, as we come on this day set aside for the honour of mothers, we do so with deep respect. Thank you, dear Father, for the nurture so many of us received during those precious formative years, as we learned the essence of love among the many forces of life bombarding us. And this essence of love from apron strings tied in love. Thank you too that these forces of goodness are seen in the lives of so many women and men in a world so often captivated by evil intent by those in positions of power. Like the poor orphan from the Dickens story, we can say, where is love? Dear God, we are outraged and sickened by continued news of wars, of death and destruction, of starvation. And we pray earnestly for peace and goodwill to all humankind. So we thank you on this day and on each day for people whose grace has graced our world, for the Florence Nightingales, the David Livingstones, the Marie Curies, the Albert Schweitzers, the Mother Teresas, and the many saints who live around us and who are known by their good deeds. And for those saints who have passed on, but whose influence stays with us. Please let them inspire us in our living as we profess our faith in you. We pray that your church today will be known not by its rituals, or its wealth, or its power, but by its love. So we pray for our church as we meet here. As the Bible asks the question, where are you going? May we truly answer in the footsteps of Jesus. We express our concern for and appreciation of so many in our community, for those who bear responsibility of government, for those who have taken on care of the community, nurses, doctors, police, paramedics, social workers, chaplains in so many areas. Oh God, please bless them, inspire them, and give them strength and vision for the task. And we ask for our friends in this congregation and elsewhere. Where there is sickness, bring healing. Where stress, comfort. In roadblocks, patience. And above all, the knowledge of your comfort. Thank you especially as we come as a congregation for Jackie's good news. And thank you too for the wonderful inspiration of Ralph Klar's life. And please touch our lives as we have need and give us strength and courage for the day. And so we share in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who gives to us in abundance. That you've laid your hands on the shoulders of each of us and drawn us into relationship with you, a relationship of love, of forgiveness, of wholeness, of hope, and all that you have given to us in abundance. And so, Lord, we bring our offerings to you now that Sue is holding the offerings we've received online. But we bring ourselves again, Lord, this morning, now in this moment, and pray that you would use us as we seek to serve the community beyond these walls. Help us to use our resources wisely and to know and be sure that you are leading us and guiding us every step of the journey. And for these things we give you praise and thanks. Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
This morning's first reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 to 48. Eye for eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Love for enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteousness. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The second reading is from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The elder brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is as much a surprise to me as it is to you. I received a phone call from Marty yesterday morning, and he really sounded terrible. He had a very nasty chesty cough, and he was at the hospital because he couldn't get into his GP. So a bit later, he let me know that this had affected his asthma, and so he's now on strong medication. But at that short notice, it was, "Can you read my message?" You know, that is really difficult to read somebody else's message and try and get the emphasis that those people had had. But he had prepared this message, so I guess it doesn't really need to go to waste. So I will do the best I can to share his words this morning. As we have understood, he chose as the basis for his message the stories of the two brothers involved in the story of the prodigal son, as well as their father. Here are Marty's words for you today. We all know the story of the prodigal. Actually, he went to look up the meaning of that word in a dictionary, and the only reference it had was this story in the Bible. So what it was saying was, get the meaning yourself from the story you have just heard from the scriptures. He says that didn't help very much. In the story, we hear of two brothers. Most of the story is about the younger son. Let's call him Graham. And we all know Graham's story. Young, impetuous, he got his share of his inheritance early and blew it all in a short time. Ended up destitute and finally decided to go home with his tail between his legs. His father went out to welcome him back to the family, even though Graham's only expectation was to return as a hired hand. His very rehearsed repentance speech was dismissed. Then we read about the older brother, let's call him Philip, and his reaction to Graham being received back into the family. It was a rather hostile response, to put it mildly, and that stemmed from his upbringing according to the Jewish traditions and their way of life, all based on the Old Testament covenant between God and his people. Philip's way of thinking was, by working hard, I can earn my father's approval. He said this, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. He believed he was entitled to his inheritance, because he'd worked so hard and kept the farm afloat after his brother had turned his back on it. That doesn't really sound so unreasonable, does it? His thinking was, hard work is what gives me my entitlement as a son, and my father should understand that. Basically, he is describing our middle-class work ethic of today. Work hard and you can expect to get ahead. Now, the context of the telling of this story is important. Jesus is telling this story to a group of Pharisees and teachers of the law. And this story was his response to their ridiculing statement, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees' comments were typical of the Jewish understanding of how to treat sinners. Keep away from them in case you get infected or influenced by them. And to be fair, isn't that what many of us have tried to do with our own children? To keep them safe from bad influences? So the Jewish teachers were not all that bad. But Jesus told this story about the brothers and their father as a way of updating their thinking. He was introducing them to a new way of thinking, a new covenant between God and his people, another way of understanding this is Jesus introducing a new contract or treaty in the way God and his people could now relate to each other. And it also included how we are to relate to other people as well. The Jewish traditional way of following God was all based on how hard you worked, how much you gave, how involved you got in your church, all to show God how obedient and good you were, so that God, in response to your good life, will give you your ultimate inheritance, just like the older son was anticipating. And that inheritance which we expect from God is ultimately eternal life. But Jesus told the story to the Pharisees to tell them that their shows of obedience and their religious observances were to be commended according to the old covenant, but this story was in fact a lesson on a new way that Jesus was bringing into being. Last week, Marty spoke about one aspect of the old covenant that God established, which meant people could only approach God through the priests. And the high priest was the people's representative before God. And God only spoke to the ordinary people, like you and me, through the high priest from the Holy of Holies. That is how God had set it up. Actually, so much of Jesus' teaching throughout his ministry is all about explaining that this new covenant is all about and how the old covenant is no longer applicable. The letters of Paul and other writers of the New Testament also talk about this a lot. And once you start to understand this change, you begin to read the scriptures a bit differently. Even today, many Christians and people outside the church still have an understanding of how God operates. They think that God is faithful because I am faithful and hardworking for the kingdom of God. And therefore, they believe the opposite as well, that if I am unfaithful or disobedient, God will withdraw his faithfulness and maybe even punish me. We often hear the cry, don't we? What have I done to deserve this? Which is actually saying, I must have done something really bad for this to happen to me. God is punishing me. You probably know the musical, The Sound of Music, and I think we all know and love The Sound of Music. It's a love story, but there is one of the songs that really annoys me because it reeks of this old way of thinking. Marty says it's a love song. I won't sing it, just say the words. Well, I certainly won't sing it. And these are the words. For here you are, standing there loving me, whether or not you should. So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. What this approach is saying, that God operates in response to me and my actions. He gives me something good only if I have been good, and something bad if I have done something bad. God's action in this world are all in response to what I have done. So with this way of thinking, It all begins with me and what I do. And then God operates in response to me and my actions. Now, to be fair, this is actually how the relationship between God and his people did work out through the Old Testament. When God's people sinned, there were consequences. God either let their enemies defeat them, or he sent them into captivity under another ruler, a sort of cause and effect relationship. If I disobey, I get punished, and as I said, this is how the old covenant operated. But so many people today still think this is how any relationship with God continues to work, as Philip, the older brother, understood. Whereas the reality of the new way is shown when the prodigal son returns to his father. Even though he had been doing some really bad stuff, he had made some really bad, selfish decisions. In the Jewish eyes, he was a sinner. But despite all this, his father welcomed him back with open arms. This is the new covenant in action. This is the gospel message, the good news we have to offer to those who don't know Jesus. Now let's look at the teaching of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. In this section of teaching, Jesus gives a whole lot of sayings that begin with, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." In other words, the Old Testament way is no longer. Now, the New Testament way that I am bringing into being means this. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the ones who want to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This lifestyle, as you can see, is not all about justice or being fair or getting even, repaying one evil for another, an eye for an eye, etc. By the way, this is exactly what Israel is currently doing with Hamas. That war makes perfect sense under the Jewish religion, but under the new covenant, it is all about loving your enemies, not getting even with them or punishing them. This is highlighted in the prison system. Some say putting a person into prison is for rehabilitation. Others say it is for punishment, an eye for an eye. Obviously, there is a bit of both in there, but it highlights the old covenant or the old way of thinking. Our society does insist on punishment for crimes committed, do the crime and do the time. So our society and its laws really operate under an old way of thinking. In reality, if we live under the law even today, then we live in this cause and effect world. If I break the law, there are consequences. But if we live above the law, where I have an understanding of the law, it is still there and is a guide to me as to what is right and wrong. And if I live within these boundaries, I live a life of complete freedom. Jesus' life, his teaching, his death, and his rising from the dead These events were all part of his overall mission. And that mission was to do away with the old ways and justice system of getting even and giving people what they deserve. What Christ has brought into being by his mission on earth is us. For we are God's us transformed. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. This creating us anew doesn't mean we have been converted from being a pagan to become a Christian. It means we have changed under this new covenant to relate to God and to other people in this new way of God. And this is shown in very practical ways. Love your enemies. Go the extra mile to assist even those who are bullying you. Pray for those who persecute you. In the beginning, at the time of creation, we were created into a lifestyle where we would have a cuppa with God in the cool of the evening, and we were created to do good things. But sin changed all that, the old snake in the garden trick. And God had to bring into being a set of laws and very structured way of relating with his people. But Jesus came along to re-establish what he had created in the very beginning, a Garden of Eden type of existence. Under the terms of this new way that Jesus brought into being at his death, when we muck up, God is the one who takes the initiative to come to us, as he did with Graham and Philip. So when that curtain was torn in two at the time of Jesus' death, that wasn't just for us to be able to enter the Holy of Holies and meet Jesus there. That also meant that God would then come out from behind the curtain and mingle with the masses. And remember, that's you and me. This new way of living that we now live under is a totally new way of relating to God, not with a whole bunch of written rules or laws. It is in our conscience. We know what is right and wrong. Now we operate on the basis of love, God's love for us, and because of that love, we in turn love others and we respond to God and what he calls us to do, not out of fear or because we feel we have to, but in response to his love for us. This is a huge difference to the old way of relationships. Let me sum it up like this verse from 1 John. We love because God first loved us. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for all you have done for us, especially in your life and death and resurrection, where you brought into being this new covenant. We are also so grateful for what you have done in our lifetime and for the way you have kept us safe and the fact that you walk with us all the time on our journey, even when we sometimes turn our back on you. Continue to forgive us when we make those bad decisions. Continue to take us back to yourself, even when we turn our back upon you. We are truly sorry for the times when we live as though you hadn't actually come and accomplished your mission. And we still live in an eye for eye world rather than live your way. Thank you for the love you have displayed to us, a love so deep we can feel carried in your arms, particularly in those difficult times. And in those times, when we feel very distant from you. Stay close, we pray. Amen. We have an incredibly faithful God who sticks with us through thick and thin. So let's stand and sing that song that is all about God's faithfulness to us.
Let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. That painting of Rembrandt's is a wonderful image of the God of comfort bringing us unconditionally and holding us unconditionally. And the prodigal is dressed in his rags. He's got one bare foot and one sandal on the other. But his ear is pressed to the heart, to the chest of the Father, listening to his heartbeat. And that's what we have. We all have. So here's our benediction, an ancient one, but nonetheless relevant for the day. The Lord has blessed us and keeps us. The Lord's face shines on us and is gracious to us. The Lord's face is turned toward us and gives us peace. Amen. Have a wonderful week.